for adult-oriented movies, there is a preface given for mature audiences only. At some point, it struck me as rather ironic to say for mature audiences only about a film featuring immaturity and folly. I'm not proposing then that we should show these movies to younger audiences. I'm simply saying that there is nothing mature about the entire thing. Anyone who is truly mature would reject the whole thing out of wisdom outright. The truth is that gospel wisdom is not directly tied to biological maturity, is it? Clearly, all older people are not necessarily wise, and all young people are not necessarily foolish. In fact, it would be children who might be most likely and wise to say of the immature movie, hey, we shouldn't be watching this. In our passage this morning, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 16, Paul speaks a message of wisdom among the mature. Gospel wisdom is tied to spiritual maturity. Those who seek the gospel in all of life are wise. Those who follow the immature standards of this present evil age are not. And so this morning's passage, and therefore this morning's sermon, is not just for adults. It is for children and adults of all ages who desire spiritual maturity. It is for those who want to know how the gospel of Jesus Christ affects every part of our life. And as we will see, it is only by the work of the Spirit that we are able to understand spiritual things. And so before we read the word, let's go before the author in prayer. Indeed, O Lord, we pray that your Spirit, who desires to be here, would indeed be present, bearing witness to the reading and preaching of the word, that we would understand and receive, that we would embrace that which you've given, that which you are giving right now. To that end, we pray for the preacher, knowing that he is not worthy, but by your grace, he is able. And so it is through Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. I encourage you to turn to 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 16, and listen to God's perfect word. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. From these great words, I would have you see the wisdom of this age, the wisdom of God, and the wisdom of Christians. First, I would have you see the wisdom of this age. In verse 6, Paul writes, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. The Greeks in Corinth loved pontificating about wisdom. Last week, Pastor Walt reminded us of this. The Greeks would sit around the marketplace sharing the latest ideas with one another. The same thing happens today, but the marketplace has changed. It no longer happens in an actual marketplace, neither does it happen in ivory towers among the educated elite. The marketplace sharing of the wisdom of this age happens in pop culture. The latest and greatest ideas and humanistic wisdom is in pop music, TV, movies, commercials, video games. In fact, in our digital age, the marketplace happens in cyberspace. Videos go viral. The wisdom of this age passes via desktop, laptop, tablet, smartphone, and now smartwatch. Digital technology has allowed the wisdom of this age to be passed around the world at light speed. The vast majority of people tend to be either consumers of this culture or rejecters of this culture. Either you consume, watching, listening, interacting with, all of it so that you don't feel left out, or you put your head in the sand and attempt to dismiss it all as hogwash. There is much to be said about this, but our time is limited. So let me briefly highlight two things about the wisdom of this age. First, it is temporary, and second, it is nothing. First, the wisdom of this age is temporary. Have you ever noticed how shortly the latest idea, gadget, or fad lasts? The popularity of most things lasts only a few months, but you feel like you must have it or you'll be left behind. It is our school-age children who probably experience this the most. Among elementary students, it used to be that you had to have the jelly band bracelets. They were all the rage. Now it's rainbow loom bracelets. Mom, I have to have this. Everyone has this. At various ages and stages, you also have to be up playing the most popular video game, currently Minecraft or Grand Theft Auto or Pokemon. Mom, I have to have this. Everybody has this. Everybody's playing this. You also have to keep up with the latest viral videos. Mom, I have to get on YouTube. I have to check my Everloop and Google Plus accounts. I have to check Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Tumblr so I can see what everyone's been talking about since I left them 15 minutes ago at school. Because this is what they'll be talking about tomorrow at school. You also have to keep up with every music video of every popular song and maybe of various musical subgenres because you have different school friends with different likes. You also have to keep up with the latest movie and TV shows. How in the world are you supposed to make and keep friends if you're not watching The Big Bang Theory and Breaking Bad and all the shows about zombies and The Voice and Dancing with the Stars and all the talent shows and reality shows? The fact is that you cannot possibly keep up with all of this. And the good news is you don't need to. Whatever is hugely popular today will be lame tomorrow. Don't believe me? Ask the people who are sitting down the pew from you, shaking their heads at you silly young people. Of course, when they were young, they did the same thing. And the stuff that was hugely popular in their day that they simply had to have is completely irrelevant today. 20 years ago, this week, the end of October, 1983, the number one song in America, Islands in the Stream by Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton. 40 years ago, end of October 1963, the number one song was Sugar Shack by Jimmy Gilmer and the Fireballs. Never heard of it. 60 years ago, Bing Crosby's Sunday, Monday, or Always was overtaken by Al Dexter's Pistol Packin' Mama. Don't know about any of that. You were all consumers of culture in the day you knew what was happening, right? And when your pop culture was taken away from you, you became a rejecter at some point of the current culture. That's what you mean when you say, well, back in my day, or when you say, you know, they just don't make them like they used to. Pop culture is just that, popular culture. The wisdom of this age is whatever can be sold right now. The stuff that you used to be able to sell 60 years ago that was so popular, you can't possibly sell today. And the stuff that's so popular right now, you won't be able to sell in a few months. What used to be so popular just a couple of months ago is now on the clearance rack. And yet biblical wisdom endures forever. Verse 7, Paul tells the Corinthians that God's secret wisdom is a wisdom that has been hidden. And then verse 10, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The wisdom of this age is revealed by popularity, and people work very hard to try and make their product popular. But gospel wisdom, which was hidden from all eternity until it was revealed now for all eternity, is that Jesus Christ is the crucified and resurrected Lord of glory. And that truth will never change. So the wisdom of this age is temporary. It is also nothing. They are called internet memes, M-E-M-E-S, memes. A meme is an idea, behavior, or style that spreads from person to person within a culture. The word meme actually comes from the Greek word to mimic or to imitate, so it gets passed along. And it was coined all the way back in 1976 by Richard Dawkins, who is an evolutionary biologist. And he talked about melodies and catchphrases and fashion. It's been just this year, in 2013, that Richard Dawkins has come back to the idea of memes, and he's now talking about internet memes as being deliberately altered by human creativity. And it's different than his original idea of the random change and the accurate copying, kind of a form of Darwinian selection, but it's changed. Internet memes now take a template, a cartoon or a photograph, and then people can create changing text overlaid of the template. And they're all over Facebook walls, right? If you've got it, you know about the Grumpy Cat, right? Grumpy Cat with all the grumpy sayings that people can put on. There are political internet memes, like the pictures of Presidents Obama and Clinton laughing together. One has President Obama saying, "First I told them that it wasn't a tax. Then I told them it would bring the cost of healthcare down. I can't believe they actually bought it." And a laughing Clinton slapping his knee says, "Stop, stop, you're killing me." There are all kinds of cheesy, power of positive thinking, pass it on memes, like the picture of the four-leaf clover with the words, "Please share this lucky clover on your Facebook wall with all your family and friends, and may all who share this on their wall have health, wealth, and happiness brought to them." There are also versions with something like, "Post this if you love your dad. Post this if you have great grandkids. Post this if you have the best sister in the world." Lots of memes simply encourage you to keep doing what you're doing and believing what you already believe. Cleaning with a toddler around is like raking leaves during a hurricane. Men, if you want to know what a woman's mind feels like, imagine a browser with 2,857 tabs open all the time. Give a man a fish and he eats for a day. Give a man a welfare check, a free cell phone, food stamps, Section 9 housing, a six-pack of beer, and he'll vote Democrat the rest of his life. The cobwebs in my house just became decorations. Thanks, Halloween. We like these internet memes and pass them on as consumers of culture because we identify with them in some way. But none of them brings a wisdom of maturity. Rather, they amount to nothing. In verse 6, Paul talks about the wisdom of this age, or the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. Our tendency is to become consumers of this pop culture nothingness, or to become rejectors and simply ignore it all, like monks who retreated away to monastery solitude. Neither is the faithful response. God calls us to be engaged in the culture, not as mere consumers like everyone else, but to be wise readers, to be critics, not just critical, but to engage in such a way that we ultimately become transformers of culture. And so having seen the wisdom of this age, I would also have you see the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God comes by the Spirit of God. Verse 11, Paul explains, "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." Now, that's a really important statement about the nature of God himself and how it is that we are able to understand anything about God. The triune God, one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, in a unique way, they are three and yet one at the same time. And each person of the Godhead has a role in carrying out the purposes of the triune God. The Spirit of God alone knows the thoughts of God. And the Spirit of God alone reveals the wisdom of God to us. This means that the wisdom of God cannot be attained from the world or by any human insight. Internet memes cannot reveal the wisdom of God. The video game Minecraft cannot reveal the wisdom of God. Miley Cyrus cannot reveal the wisdom of God, and neither could Kenny Rogers, Jimmy Gilmer, Bing Crosby, or L. Dexter. If we look to the Spirit of God, then we are able to engage in pop culture in a redemptive way, so that the transformers of culture is what we become, rather than mere transmitters of culture. We run pop culture through the gospel grid and see what the Spirit of God reveals as we line up the Spirit and the Word with it. Now, verse 12 couldn't be more clear. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. To the mature, to the one who has the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, we are able to receive the wisdom of God by the Spirit about worldly things. Listen closely. This is why we can see redemptive themes in movies and music. This is why we should not seek to escape the culture, but to speak the gospel into the culture, and not in cheesy, over-the-top ways that come from too many well-meaning but immature Christians. It is that immature arrogance and divisiveness of Christians that mirrors that of the Corinthians. The Corinthians boasted about the wisdom they had gained through worldly means. They boasted about who they followed. I follow Apollos. I follow Cephas. I follow Paul. Well, I follow Christ. Well, I like Royals by Lord. Well, I follow Imagine Dragons in One Direction. I follow Pearl Jam. Well, I prefer Jimmy Page. Well, you're all silly. Nothing compares to Bach and Mozart. You don't think we follow pop culture of any era a little too closely? Go ahead and mock someone's favorite TV show, past or present, or their favorite video game, or their favorite movie. Go up to someone from an older generation and say, you know, I finally saw Gone with the Wind. Didn't really like it so much. They'll be incensed. I once told a Jane Austen fan that for me, reading Pride and Prejudice was like a horrible homework assignment. Thought they're going to have a stroke right there in front of me. We get emotionally attached to the things of the world that we like, more attached sometimes than we get with the Holy Spirit of the living God. In the contemporary church, we get attached to church programs that had an impact on us at some point in our lives. And so we're convinced that that program must be continued or reintroduced. I have people suggest to me all the time that all the problems of the church will be solved if we just, and it doesn't matter what they say, right? If the words, if we just, come out of your mouth, you should stop right there and repent. Because you're about to suggest that the wisdom of God can be attained through some human means. The wisdom of God can only come by the work of the Spirit of God. But what does that look like in real time? Well, having seen the wisdom of this age and the wisdom of God, I would have you then see the wisdom of Christians. Verse 13 says, this is what we speak. That is to say, Paul is speaking this message not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught us by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Now, lots of Bibles translate that last phrase differently, but essentially, it's talking about the interplay of the work of the Spirit with God's word. Peter said something similar in 2 Peter 1, that the prophecy of Scripture never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Hence, we have the Scriptures. Later in that letter, in fact, Peter said of Paul specifically, Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. The work of the Spirit is never separated from the work of God's word. With great wisdom, John Calvin said, it is no less unreasonable to boast of the Spirit without the Word than it would be an absurd thing to bring forth the Word itself without the Spirit. To suggest that problems in the church can be addressed by anything other than the ministry of the Word and the Spirit is an error. Lactantius, all the way back in the 3rd century, wrote this, all the wisdom of man consists in this alone, the knowledge and worship of God. Here is that which all philosophers have sought throughout their whole life, and yet they have not been able to investigate, to grasp, and to attain it, because they either retained a religion that was corrupt or took it away altogether. Do you want to be spiritually mature? Engage in the knowledge and worship of God by the interplay of God's word and spirit? Do you want to be able to engage in the culture in a redemptive and transformative way? Engage in the knowledge and worship of God by the interplay of God's word and spirit? Do you want to understand who God is and why he does what he does? Engage in the knowledge and worship of God by the interplay of God's word and spirit. Verse 14 says, the man without the spirit does not accept the things that come from the spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. You can come to understand and accept the things that come from the spirit of God, but only when you engage in the knowledge and worship of God by the interplay of God's word and spirit. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Romans 8:9 says it like this. You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. They come together, Christ and the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit comes to all who believe in Christ and reveals to you the mind of God. Do you have the mind of God? Do you have, as our passage concludes, the mind of Christ? You can't get it from the wisdom of this age. Pop culture cannot give you the mind of Christ. If you are simply watching movies and not interpreting their worldview, then you are probably buying into their worldview, regardless of whether it's a new movie or an old movie. If you are simply listening to music and not interpreting their worldview, then you are buying into their worldview, regardless of whether it's a new song or an old song. If you are not a critical thinker about culture, then you will get carried away by culture. If you are not critical thinkers about culture, then we will watch the culture continue to get carried away. But we have the Spirit of God, and we have the Word of God. May we be matured by it. We have the mind of Christ. May we use it to transform this world. Indeed, may the truth set us free. Amen.